Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
Good morning. Welcome to week three of Relationship Status. We're glad you're here today. Come on, can we put our hands together for the worship today?
Come
I just
on.
Love singing with you guys today. We gave you a week off today.
Really?
But you're up here. You don't have to sing. I mean, you did sing down there. You did a really good job. Hey, we're really, really glad you're here today. If you're visiting Hope Church for the very first time, I want you to know we are really, really glad you're here today. Would you take a moment today and would you scan that QR code on the seat right there in front of you? And we love you to connect with you. There really is so much going on at our church.
Lots going on. If you ever are wondering what's going on, first of all, you should scan the QR code. Maybe you've been coming for a long time.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm not scanning that QR code. I will not allow them to blow up my emails. But if you don't scan the QR code, and we do not blow up your emails, but
once a week,
if you want to know what's going on, like if you're like, dude, why didn't they invite me? We invited you. You just never scanned the QR code.
Yes, we've been inviting you. There was a baby shower yesterday. There was a bridal shower.
Yes,
a bridal shower.
Big
and
difference.
I saw a lot of people there, but I didn't get invited to it.
I'm sorry. It was a girl one. I know nowadays it's like they're mostly co-ed, but it was old school yesterday.
I didn't get invited. I didn't get invited. Now it's the new generation and the old generation. It was kind of old and new. But anyways, there's nothing. You know what it stinks? Like when you get invited to something, I messaged the girl who had the bridal shower. I was like, hey, I think I missed my invitation. And she's like, you didn't miss your invitation. You weren't invited. But there's nothing like, you got invited to something, but you didn't get the invitation.
Yeah.
And so we want you to be a part of all that God is doing here. There really is a seat at the table for literally everybody here today. And so we want to make sure you don't miss out on that. So make sure you scan that QR so we can make sure we connect with you. Also.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Yeah,
you're doing awesome.
I'm doing good, yeah. Also, we've spent the last few days with our partners, Convoy of Hope. We had a good time with them learning and relaxing and learning a little bit about what God is doing. And we're going on a missions trip with them this year. We give to them every single month. We partner with them. They're doing so much for the kingdom of God. And so I wanted to just thank you guys. I was with them. They're like, hey, we want to thank all of you guys. We want to thank all of our partners for pouring into this church. But I wanted to thank you guys for your faithful giving at Hope Church. Because when you do that, it literally allows us to change. It changes the world. With Convoy of Hope, I don't know which number stuck out to you the most, but one of the things that they're doing, they're feeding 500,000 children every single day. And that's a lot. And their goal is to be serving 1 million children food every single day. And that's awesome. And last year, they had 30,000 projects for women empowerment. They're teaching women how to serve and to lead and how to start businesses. And man, so much is going on. So I wanted to thank you on behalf of them.
Yeah.
They thanked us. And so we're coming to you guys to thank you guys. Thank you guys for giving, because when you give, it literally, it does change the world. Dinah said to me on the trip, she's like, we need to tell people more about all that we're doing. We literally have stuff going on all of the time. Partners literally all around the world. So we wanted to thank you guys for being part of the generosity.
Yeah, if you came ready to give today, you can give online at hopewinterurban.com. You can text an amount to 84321, or you can drop your gift back in the back. But just know that when you give here, you're helping all around the world. You're helping all around the city. Your gift is going so much further. I think just being obedient to what God has called us to do when we come together, man, we can reach so many people for him. So thank you. If you give here, thank you for giving here. And if you do want to know anything that's happening around here, you can always go to hopewintergarden.com, click on the events tab. We have a couple of send me. We have Costa Rica and Kenya trips that are open right now. If you're like, hey, I think I want to go, you have another week and a half to let us know. If you have questions about those, let us know. But we're super excited to be going on these trips this year. And so get your money in, get all the things in. We have one student who put up her not a GoFundMe, but kind of a GoFundMe, and she's almost fully funded after being up less than a week. So if God wants you to go, he will provide the way for you to go. So we're super excited for that.
Yeah, so we're just thankful. We're thankful for this church, thankful for what God is doing. The trips are going to be fire. I was talking to Jeanette, who's one of our sisterhood leaders and Next Steps leader, which, by the way, Next Steps happens right after the service.
And baptism class.
Baptism happens at 10 a.m. If you've not been baptized yet, or if you got baptized as a child, or you're like, you know, I'm not exactly sure why I got baptized, man, we'd love for you to explain with you a little bit further about more about baptism. Baptism class happens at 10 o'clock, which means we got to get moving because we want to get you there by 10 o'clock. And then right after 10 o'clock is our next steps. Next steps happens at 10:30. If you have any questions about church or about God or about your walk with God, 10:30. If you want to get more involved, if you want to plug in, you're like, man, I see all this stuff. We had a guy come today. He showed up this morning at about 8:30, ready to work out. He had his shorts on, his jacket. I go, hey, bro, bad news. Good news and bad news. We're going to preach the good news in this building. The bad news is not prepared for you to set up for you to go work out, so we can't invite you. But, man, if you've gotten saved recently in our church, we've had people saved almost every single Sunday of the year this year already. If you have questions about that, about your faith, how to walk in the journey, that's at 10:30. That will be how to read the Bible, how to pray, who is God, who is the Holy Spirit. Like, all that happens at 10:30. We'd love for you to stay around. There'll be snacks there. If you have kids, you can leave your kids in kids service. We'll watch them another hour for you, and we'll invest in them and pour into them. But that happens at 10:30. If you're new to this church, want to learn more, that's at 10:30. Baptism class is at 10.
And there's snacks in there.
There's snacks because we're like low-key at Baptist church. There's always food involved. There's always food involved at a Baptist church. Hey, but we're in a series called Relationship Status. And if you haven't watched them, go back and watch them. Week one, we learned that the fact that Jesus is our role model for how to have healthy relationships. Jesus is our role model for us to have healthy relationships. And everyone has relationships. Whether they're healthy or not, I don't know. But we want to have healthy ones. So Jesus is our role model to have healthy relationships. And then last week, we looked at Psalms 23, which I'm so thankful for God's word. Psalms 23 is such a powerful passage of scripture. What I love about God and what about God's word is God's word, it actually is God speaking to us.
Yeah.
So you can read Psalms 23. I've read Psalms 23 since I was a little kid. I memorized it as I went to in church as a little kid. But every time you read Psalms 23, but Psalms 23 gave us our point last week. And the main point for last week was your relationship needs a shepherd. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Your relationships, they need a shepherd. And bad news is you're not doing a good enough job. I'm not doing a good enough job. We don't do a good enough job in our relationship. We work hard, but our relationship, it needs a shepherd. And our kids, they need a shepherd, and we need a shepherd. So your relationships, they need a shepherd. And today, we're going to transition into another relationship that we all have.
Drum roll, please. Favorite one. Come on. Who needs relationship help on how to have a relationship with the next generation below us?
I do.
Come on.
Come on. I need help.
Whether you're a parent, a coach, a grandparent, you're an aunt or uncle, you kids pull out in front of you. Like, we need some help with how to deal with the next generation sometimes.
They're wild.
Right?
They are wild.
I was actually in the car with London and Tripp last night, and we were trying to figure out which generation they were part of. They're part of the alpha generation, but they're like, they just made it.
Oh.
So like, I was letting them know I am a millennial, but I'm like, I like just made the
millennial
generation.
Yeah, you definitely just, because you're a year older than me, so
thank
you barely
you. Yes.
Just made it.
Yes, but come on, today we're talking about relationships, whether it's parenting, coaching, but relationships with the next generation and how important that is. I hate to bring sisterhood into this, but part of our sisterhood culture is big sisters. No, little sisters need them, and little sisters lean in and listen, and that's so applicable to the next generation. If you're an older generation, you know that the little generation, who's beneath you, they need you. And if you're in here and you're like, dude, what? If you're the younger generation, listen, lean in and listen. Listen to those who've gone before you. Listen to those who are in your life. We found some parenting memes that I don't know if they just stuck out to us. Some of them definitely really stuck out to us, but maybe you can relate to these. Here's the first one. When your kids keep telling a story and it won't end.
Come on.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Dad.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Dad, like, you already said that. You already said that.
Give me one second. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We won't mention the child that goes
no,
to.
But
if you know us, you know the child.
He or she tells long stories.
Yes.
Very, very. Actually, both of our boys tell long stories. I'm just kidding.
All right, here's the next one. What I thought parenting would look like, what it's like. Come on. All you newlyweds, maybe you're pregnant with your first baby in here, and you're like, oh, just a spoonful of sugar, honey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more like get the armor of God and the guns and all of
you
the things.
You need all the things.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, here's the last one. I am not your friend.
Come on.
I am your parent. I will stalk you, flip out on you, lecture, drive you insane, be your worst nightmare, and hunt you down when needed because I love you.
Come on.
It is very true. So if you are a student, if you are in here with your parents today, man, this is for you, okay? You're going to need this because some they're going to hear this today. They're going to go home and be like, hey, we're changing all the rules today. And listen, it's from the Bible, okay? So you got to go with it, all
sorry
right?
Sorry about that. If we mess any of you students up today, we're really sorry about
no,
that.
No, we're not.
If
we are not
any
sorry.
Parents up.
We are not sorry.
Some of your parents were like, I don't really want to hold them accountable. I don't really want to, you know, we're sorry for you as
okay,
well.
Okay, we got one more video that just, whether you're a parent, you've worked in student ministry, kids ministry, anything, this just depicts being with people who might not want to listen sometimes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, you can play that video. We want to commentate this video for you. So you know it's like youth camp.
We got it.
Time to go to bed. Everybody's in there.
We're going somewhere.
All right, everybody, okay.
We're
curfew,
doing good.
All right.
We're good.
Time to go in
we're
your
good.
Room.
Everybody's
Let's go.
Good. We're safe. Nope.
Oh,
nope.
There's
nope.
that
always,
one kid.
There's always one kid.
Then you're like, oh, good, they're listening. Look, they're coming. Oh, look.
Took them a minute. Oh, no,
oh,
there's no more.
There's Wes. Yeah. I mean.
Nope.
There's that one kid who's
funny.
Like, but hold on, this looks really fun. Let me just try this really fast.
Or it's like, I need to go back inside real quick to get my tablet.
And
I need
at
my
this
tablet.
Point, at this point, the mama bear is yelling. And then there's that one kid who's like, oh, mom, I'm right here.
I'll help.
You told me to just
I'll
stay
help.
With you.
I'll help. The goody two-shoe kid.
Come on, let's
that
go.
That goody two-shoe kid, by the way, that's Diana. That is her. She's been a goody two-shoe her whole
thank
life.
Thank you, thank you.
That's
thank
me
you
for sure in the back right there.
And then maybe one day. Maybe one day.
No, we're changed my mind. I changed my mind.
Maybe
anybody
one day.
Anybody has a kid that changes their mind.
You get everybody to listen. Everyone does
yep.
what they're supposed to do. The end.
Come on. That's,
come on.
Isn't that, that's what
come
it's
on.
Like. That's what. Not my kid. You're a liar. You're a liar. That is your kid's. Hey, our title today for the message is Raising a Godly Generation. Raising a Godly Generation. Because at the end of the day, we want to raise a godly generation. And at the end of the day, all of us in here today, we want to be godly children. I was looking on the front row in Acts, when we preached our last time we preached together on parenting last year, Acts 2:17 keeps on popping up to my spirit when I was preparing this. But the Bible says that in the last days, God's going to pour his spirit out on sons and daughters. And man, that's what we need. We need God to pour his spirit out on us for us to be a godly generation. And the generation, usually what's indicative of parts of the generation is indicative of all the generation. And so we want to be a generation where the Holy Spirit is poured out on us. I don't care if you're younger, older here today. We want the Holy Spirit to pour out on us, sons and daughters, because the Bible says that we're going to need that Spirit in the end days. And so I don't know if we're in the end times. It feels like we're in the end times. Other parts of Scripture will tell you that we're clearly in it. But we want to raise a godly generation. For Diane and I, this is very, very, very imperative for us. We have been in this ministry, youth ministry, for 20-plus years. We've been poured into the next generation. We believe in the next generation at the highest level possible. I tell people all the time, the world is going to get the next generation or the church is going to get the next generation. And we want to be there first.
Yeah.
And so we have a strong passion our whole lives. We're going to be youth pastors until we die because we believe that God's called us to reach them. I used to tell Pastor Ed Trinkle, who will be with us next week, one of our overseers, I used to say, man, this is what you need to do. 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 And I realized he kept on saying to me, hey, everything that you're telling me to do is just theory. Wait till you have your own kids. And so I want to let you know today, some of you guys in here today are going, dude, I do not need any more parenting advice. Here's what we know. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And I've helped a lot of parents raise their kids, but I realized the stuff that I would tell parents to do, it hasn't necessarily worked on even on my own kids. It was, this will be good for your kids. And I'm like, I'm realizing, dang it, this is a lot harder than I thought. We know it's hard. It's going to be different for each children. Oh, by the way, and then you have one kid and you start doing a good job with it, and then you have a second kid, and whatever you do for the one kid won't work for the second kid. And so you're like, dadgum. And so we just want you to know that we believe in this next generation, and but it's going to take all of us.
Yeah.
It's going to take all of us. So if you're here today going, I don't have any kids, this is not for me. No, this is literally this is literally for all of us. I met my parents. They took me to church camp. I met two of my mentors when I was 15 years old. I've had the same mentors for 26 years. 26 years of the same two guys pouring into my life, and I'm always trying to get more men, older men, pouring into my life. The more for me, the merrier it works out better for me. And so we want to raise a godly generation.
Yeah, so we're going to look in Deuteronomy chapter 6 today. We're going to kind of break it apart a little bit, but this is verse 1 through 3. It says this, "These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you.
Once you have kids and they reach 18 plus, here's the bad news. Your job's not over.
Yeah.
And this scripture here is telling us we have all of this to do for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
For the rest of our life. You want to jump back in?
Sure, I'll jump back in.
Cool.
We're very preaching together. We've got very meticulous.
I jumped in on your notes. I'm really sorry about that. I jumped on your notes.
No, yeah, it does take all of us. And I would say this too. This is obviously talking to the children of Israel. And I was kind of studying last night, how does this apply? We're not under that covenant anymore. But man, the same things that they're telling him is how to draw close to God. And we can apply all of those same principles just as if they were speaking to us this morning. And so whether you have kids of your own or not, we all play a part. This is from generation to generation. And so maybe you don't know what your part is. Maybe you're still searching for what that is, or you don't feel like you have a part. But I would say that if you are a follower of Christ, you're always influencing somebody, whether that's the next generation or somebody older than you. As a follower of Christ, it is our job to do what this Deuteronomy 6 is telling us to do.
Yeah, I saw this quote studying this week, but it says this: your children don't just become what you say. They become what they see. They become what they see. Man, they are watching you. This generation, I said it a few weeks ago, this generation, they are watching intently. Here's the bad news. I think they're watching, good and bad.
Yeah.
They're watching to see where we're inconsistent.
Yeah.
They're not watching to see where we're killing it at. They're watching to see where we're inconsistent at. And they're gonna become what they see, not just what you say. You know, my parents used to always say, my dad used to always say, do as I say, not as I do. And I was like, the older I got, I'm like, no, I'm going to do what you do. You know, like, they're going to do what we say. Sure, maybe, but they're going to do what we do. So to raise a godly generation, here's a couple thoughts. You need to love God fervently.
Yeah.
You need to love God fervently. Everyone should love God fervently. But if we're going to raise this generation up, if we're going to reach them, we need to raise up godly generation. We need to love God fervently. Here's what Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 4 through 6 says. Listen, O Israel. Listen, like, pay attention, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all of your strength, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Fervently means enthusiastically or passionate. The Bible says in Revelation, God says, I'd rather you be hot or cold. I do not want you to be lukewarm. I want you to be fervent. Like, I want you to be, like, so passionate. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that they love Jesus. There's no doubt in my mind that they love God fervently. All in, passion for God. The inconsistencies and the inabilities for us to go all in, they're watching all of those things.
Yeah.
We have to go all in with God. We wrote it down this way. The next generation, they spot fakes very quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, if you're faking it, they can see it. And you can think you're killing it. You can think, man, I am just, but they see it clearly.
Yeah, so what does it look like to love God fervently? We just put down some practical things, but spiritual disciplines help you love God fervently. When you're praying, fasting, Bible reading, getting baptized, following what the Bible's telling us, being involved in your church, serving, giving, having a Christian community, these are spiritual disciplines that show others that you are loving God fervently. If you tell your kids, come on, do what the Bible says, but you're doing none of these, it's going to be hard for them to understand. If it wasn't modeled for you, though, I could see how that might be hard. Maybe you didn't grow up with parents or anybody who showed you how to do any of these things, how to love God. You never really knew what the Bible was until maybe you came here. And so if that's the case, don't be like, well, I didn't know, so I get a pass. You don't get a pass. Once you know who Jesus is, man, I hear Nancy over here. I had lunch with her a couple weeks ago. Man, she has had to press in to what God is and how to raise her kids and how to raise her grandkids, because it wasn't modeled for her growing up. But she didn't say, I'm not going to do it anymore. Man, she has pressed in. And some of you today, maybe you need to press in a little harder. You need to pick people who you can go to dinner with. Go say, how do you do this? How do you love God fervently? I feel like at Hope Church, we give you lots of ways to do that, but we can't make you do it. You have to decide to do it. You have to put it in your calendar. You have to do those things. And so start today. Don't be like, yeah, well, let me be here a little bit longer. No, start today, start small. And to the teens in this room, to the next generation, I was thinking about this also. Maybe you might think, well, we're talking to the parents, but I know I have 9-year-olds who look up to some of our teens in here today. And so you're also helping to raise the next generation. And so if you love God fervently, you're teaching my 9-year-olds, okay, if that cool basketball player, that cool football player, that my leader in Hope Kids is loving God fervently, you are also help. While you are the next generation, you're also helping raise the next generation. And so don't go at it alone, man. If we would have tried to do this thing alone, we were both raised with a Christian background, but man, there's been things that I had to press in and dig more for my kids, and my kids aren't the same as my parents, you know what I'm saying, my relationship with my kids. So I've had to dig in and find out, what does this kid need, what does that kid need? And I've watched other parents who've gone before me, and I've said, hey, let's go out, let's figure out what this looks like. But don't let it's too late keep you from starting today.
So good. One of the things that we said last year is that there are no perfect parents.
Yeah.
And nobody's perfect in here today, so we're all giving it our best. My dad, you say this way, we're giving it our college try. Like, we're all doing the best that we possibly can do. There is no perfect. By the way, this God puts in my spirit. Even if you practice all these principles, this does not produce a perfect outcome. This is not like the recipe for perfect kids or for perfect parenting or perfect outcomes. Your job is to sow and to sow and to sow. And what comes out down the road, we won't know until we get down the road. But you still have to sow. I wrote it down this way. Your behavior, not your advice, will be the greatest influence in your kids' lives.
Yeah.
Your behavior, not your advice, will be the greatest influence in your kids' lives. I have a friend of mine. He's in the room in here today. One of his kids really challenged him at a young age, and he made a decision to change his life overnight. He said, because my kids kept on saying to me, hey, I keep on seeing you do this. Hey, I keep on seeing you do this. Hey, I keep on seeing you do this. And the guy was like, you know what? It was a wake up moment. I look up to this guy because I'm like, man, he does things that he knows his kids are watching him. And man, you know what's really, really challenging? And some of us, maybe some of you guys, your kids are doing things that you're not doing. Like maybe your kids read your Bible, but you're not reading your Bible. Maybe your kids are waking up, going to church, going to youth group. Maybe your kids in a community group, but you aren't. Or maybe your kids are getting baptized. We have a handful of young people that are signed up to go to baptism class at 10 a.m. But maybe you've not been baptized yet. Why wouldn't we do the things that we want them to do?
Yeah.
We have to go before them.
Yeah.
Whether or not our parents did it for us or not. Again, like Dinah says, well, we had good parents. They weren't perfect parents.
Yeah.
And there are things that Dinah does not do that Dinah and I don't do that our parents did do. And there's things that they did do that we say, okay, that works. And we have to talk about, like, hey, is that good? Is that bad? Do we like that? Do we dislike that? So number one, to raise godly generations, you need to love God firmly. Here's number two, to raise up godly generations, you need to teach your children diligently. You've got to teach them diligently.
Yeah, Deuteronomy 6:7-9 says, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And I brought these today. You got them? Thank you. This is just a shameless Hobby Lobby plug, but there's all kind of scripture things at Hobby Lobby. You can hang all over. Yeah. One of my sister-in-law got this for Trip when he was little, and it hung in his room for lots of years. For I know the plans I have for Trip, declares the Lord, plans to prosper him and not to harm him, plans to give Trip a hope and a future. And so he saw that for years and years. He made me take it down, but we are keeping that forever. I mean, it's not lame, but it doesn't match his decor, you know. And then this one, we've probably said this every year we've taught on parenting. Selah had this in her room, and Judah had this. It says, I am the son of a king who is not moved by this world, for my God is with me. He goes before me. I do not fear because I am his. And every night when the twins were little, she would say, I am a daughter of the king. It was so cute. And sometimes we'll still say, hey, when they're being fearful, I'm like, hey, who are you? I'm a daughter of the king. I'm a son of the king who is not moved by this world. Growing up on the front door of my house was for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. I think we gave them out at church, like these little brass plates you could like screw to the door.
We need to bring them back.
bring
them
it back.
back.
But man, put scripture all over your house. You can Pinterest, scripture for my house, cute little principles. And if you put them, you don't think your kids will read them, but if every day they're brushing their teeth, it's right there, they're gonna remember. My mom had the story of the Velveteen Rabbit. That was not scripture, but I'm sure there was some principle behind it. It was like, if you love them, you know. But I remember that was in my bathroom, and every day I would read the story of the Velveteen Rabbit when I brushed my teeth. So whatever you're putting around, they're going to see it.
Has anybody heard of the Velveteen Rabbit? Has anybody heard of that?
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Three white people.
Thank you.
I don't know that. They didn't have that in their brother's house.
I'll show you the story. Yes, abuse scripture. Use scripture. I'll find a story for you, babe. I was trying to rename the rabbit, but I didn't think it'd be appropriate.
Like a chocolate bunny or something, yeah. For me.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. last year we broke down, there's four stages of parenting. The discipline years are ages 0 to 5. And in those years, your kids need control, and it's your responsibility to be consistent. The training years are ages 5 to 12. Your kids need to gain understanding. They're going to gain it from you. This is where they're 5 to 12. They're gaining it from you. They're gaining it from teachers. They're gaining it from people a little bit older than them. But they need you to help shape their worldview. And at this church, we believe that you should be shaping a biblical worldview, that every way you look at the world is through the lens of the Bible. The coaching years are ages 12 to 18. They need loving guidance. Your responsibility is to let them start practically practicing the stuff that you've been teaching them. And then lastly is the friendship years, the adult years. Your kids need space, but they need your support. And they will constantly need that while you're here on this earth. So whatever stage of parenting you're in, if you are new to the faith and you're like, well, I missed ages 0 to 5, or maybe my kids are older now. Listen, there is still so much you can do. Don't think, well, I'm out of those years, I can't do it. Man, press in, go in together with your kids, because it will make a difference.
I spent a lot of years in my early years of ministry before we started having our litter of kids, and I would spend time going downtown Orlando, and I would serve homeless people, and we would serve peanut butter and jelly, or we would bring hot food down there. But one of the things that we did is we would have conversations, and there was something that one of the homeless guys said to me a long time ago, and he said this. He goes, I said, what got you here? I just asked him, what got you here? And he goes, I just quit listening to my parents. I didn't want any rules. I didn't want any discipline. I didn't want any things. And I said, do you think if you were to go back and do it all over again, would your life look different? He goes, absolutely. So I was with my kids the other day, and I was telling Tripp and I think Judah, but we saw this guy pushing a cart, looked to be like he didn't have a home. And I just said, hey, you got to obey your parents. You got to do what we tell you to do. Dinah's said this so many times in our parenting, I learned this from her, but your kids, they need to be disciplined.
Yeah.
They will love that. We have pastored, you guys, preached to and pastored over 1,000 young people in our 20 years. We have served, we've done girls, youth group girls conferences, we've done a young student of college. I mean, we have been with kids all around the world. And I'm telling you, all those places that you have to be a parent, you have to be consistent in all of those things.
Yeah.
Consistency, I say it this way, inconsistency, I think this is, I don't know if this is factual, I don't know if it's in the Bible or not, but I believe this, inconsistency is a generational curse.
Yeah.
Parents that are inconsistent produce kids that are inconsistent, produces another generation coming that's going to be inconsistent.
Yeah.
We've got to be consistent. This is a foundational principle that applies to everybody's life.
Yeah.
Everybody's life. Every single person has to be consistent. If you're consistent, that is what they're looking for. This generation is looking for us to be consistent. Inconsistency is a generational curse.
Yeah, consistency is key, is obviously a foundational principle for so many areas. But man, when we're talking about being consistent with our kids, these just practical things came to my mind. And some of these things are things that we've seen other parents. It's the whole do as I say, not as I do. But if you teach your kids when they're in elementary school not to say cuss words, then don't allow it when they get 16 or say, oh, well, it's okay, everyone says it around them. That's inconsistent to say, don't don't listen to what I taught you when you were little. It's okay now. That's inconsistent. If you're teaching them that the Bible says do not consume alcohol in excess, do not be drunk, but they see you doing that, that's inconsistent. You don't get the Bible says do not be drunk with wine. It doesn't say be drunk with wine if you're 21 or older. It says do not be drunk with wine. So if they see you doing it, that's inconsistent. If you're teaching your kids what the Bible says about sex and relationships and waiting till you're married, then it's inconsistent to say, yeah, you guys go onto the house before us by yourselves. Just wait. We'll be there. It's spring break. It's just the parents are going to be there, but you guys are going to stay in separate rooms. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like we've had parents give their daughters birth control, but they're teaching them to wait till they're married. Those are some inconsistencies that confuse the heck out of your kids. And so be consistent. Man, it is. Inconsistency is totally a generational
curse. When we were dating, we were in college, and Diana's parents had a rule. You couldn't be in the house by yourself. So we came from church or out to eat. It was Sunday night. I can't remember. We were home from college, and we got there before anybody else there. So we just literally sat in the parking lot until the mom and dad got there. And that sounds like so dumb to maybe some of you guys in here today, but that protected us. Yeah. Like, and we needed that. We're 21, 22-year-old young adults, and we needed that consistency in our life. And so we just waited in the parking lot. Now, we always say this. We always say it this way. Like, man, Dino, this is what Dino says. I hope our kids, you know, don't date a guy like you were when you were in high school. And she's right. I hope not too. But man, we always say, like, I don't want our kids. We don't even want our kids in the car with another boy, you know? Because it's like, dude, because you can just go wherever you want to go. And so we're gonna make all of our kids go together. Just all four of them, they're gonna just go together. And so, man, we would tell kids, hey, sex is awesome in the context of marriage. And then we'd have parents in our youth group giving their kids condoms. Or we would tell kids, hey, you know, drinking, you make that decision when you get older. You're too young to make that decision. The parents would say, okay, we'll drink at our house. And so we fought against so many different parents. And it wasn't our advice was the right advice. We were going after God's word. God's word is good advice. It's just such good advice. And so we would say, kids would be like, oh, you know, my parents let me smoke. And I'm like, no, like just be consistent and teach the Bible. And, man, I don't want you to go against the Bible.
Yeah.
Because then it's going to look like we're going against you. And we're not going against you. We're going against the enemy. We're going against the enemy. And the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy our kids, our young generation. And we're going to always be preaching them the Bible. Tonight, we're going to preach them the Bible. And so we're going to always be giving them God's word, because we know that God's word is the recipe for living a godly life. And so we want you guys to partner with us as we do that same exact thing.
Yeah, Deuteronomy 6, 20 and verse 20, it says, in the future, your children will ask you, what is the meaning of these laws, decrees, and regulations that the Lord our God has commanded us to obey? Then you must tell them, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand. Come on, has he brought some of you out of an Egypt? You got to tell your kids, the Lord did miraculous signs and wonders before our eyes, dealing terrifying blows against Egypt and Pharaoh and all his people. He brought us out of Egypt so he could give us this land he had sworn to give our ancestors, and the Lord our God commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear him so he can continue to bless us and preserve our lives as he has done to this day. For we will be counted as righteous when we obey all the commands the Lord our God has given us.
Come on, I love that. There's so much legacy language in that passage of scripture. What kind of legacy will you leave?
Yeah.
I always say it this way, like, our money is going to die out one day. You can leave your kids some money. You might can leave your kids a house. You can leave your kids some material things. But what we all need to leave is we need to leave a spiritual legacy in our kids. That is something that will last forever, that they will use that. Whatever spiritual advice you give them, they will use that for forever. The Bible says in verse 20, in the future, your children are going to ask you, what will you be able to say? Man, we lived a legacy that was pleasing to God. Or will you say, we got this, we got this, we got this? We've pastored a lot of young 20-year-old kids, 25-year-old kids. None of them have ever told us, you know what, I wish my parents would have gave me more stuff. They all say, man, I wish my parents would invest in us more spiritually. I wish my parents would have spent more time with us. None of them have wanted more stuff. Stuff's not bad. We want to give our kids stuff. Our kids are like your kids. They're spoiled. But we want to give them a spiritual legacy. What I love what Dinah wrote down this way. What freedom stories will you be able to tell your kids? If you follow these biblical principles, you'll have something, your kids have something to talk about for generations and generations. And whatever we give this generation, they'll be able to give the next generation. Number three.
Yeah, I believe also before we move to that is Some of you, when they're saying coming out of Egypt, you went through Egypt in your older years. And you'll be able to say, man, when I started applying God's principles to my life, freedom flowed. The forgiveness, the salvation of Jesus. And so tell your freedom stories. I know you got to gauge when your kids are ready, but some of your kids, they need to hear what you went through and hear how you made it to where you are today. And so share your freedom stories. Your children are going to ask you. We always have to be ready for what our kids are going to ask us. So be ready for that. Number three is to raise up godly generations. Live in the world carefully. Live in the world carefully. Deuteronomy 6, 10 through 19 says, to the Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig, and you will eat from vineyards and olive trees you didn't plant. When you have eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and serve him. When you take an oath, you must only use his name. You must not worship any gods of neighboring nations. For the Lord your God, who lives among you, is a jealous God. His anger will flare up against you, and he will wipe you from the face of the earth. You must not test the Lord your God as you did when you complained at Massah. You must diligently obey the commands of the Lord your God, all the laws and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so all will go well with you. Then you will enter and occupy the good land that the Lord swore to give you, your ancestors. You will drive out all the enemies living in the land, just as the Lord said you would.
Come on. I love that passage of scripture. It's a prescription for you and I to raise up a godly generation. We have to live in the world carefully. Man, there was so much going on around them. But most like, hey, this is what we're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do. This is what we're going to do. And Joshua came around. He goes, I don't know what they're going to do, but this is what we're going to do. At this church, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do the Bible stuff. We're going to do God's word stuff. We're going to be sons and daughters that have the Holy Spirit flow into us, and we're going to lead this next generation. We're going to be sons and daughters leading sons and daughters. We're all part of this. We need to live in the world carefully. The Bible says we need to be vigilant because the devil is vigilant.
Yeah.
He's watching us, waiting for us to trip up, waiting for us to stumble so he can pounce on us. We have to live in the world carefully. The Bible says be in the world, but don't be of the world.
Yeah.
Jesus was out there in the streets. It wasn't like he sat in the temple all the time and did nothing. He went to the parties. He went to the tax collector's house. He was in places that people were like, whoa. But he lived so vigilantly. He lived so close to God. People were like, there's no way he's doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Can people say the same thing about you?
Yeah.
If someone ever saw you at X or Y or Z, they go, oh no, he was probably reaching them. Oh man, he was serving Jesus. I know what they're doing. He was living vigilantly. Do people say that about you? It's our job to protect this generation, but it's also our job to prepare this generation. We can't put them in our houses, lock them up, put chastity belts on them, and say, don't leave the house. I think it's a good idea, but we can't do that. I don't know. I mean, I guess we can try it, but we need to be examples.
Yeah.
And we need to prepare them for what is to come. If you don't train them, bad news. If you don't train them, if you don't use the Bible to train them, their friends and social media will train them.
Yeah.
This sounds stupid, but I've had a lot of Starbucks experiences with a lot of young people, and most of the ones I roll with to order their drink, they open up their phone and they got a drink off of TikTok. We did a wedding in St. Augustine. I saw two girls. I said, how'd you guys? They were at college. I said, how'd you guys find this college? We found this college on TikTok. Hope the other day said, oh, I bought a camera. I said, where'd you find that? She goes, I found it on the TikTok store. I'm like, are you allowed to have the TikTok store? You know, like, I'm just telling you, their friends are going to train them.
Yeah.
Or if their friends' parents aren't godly, you don't want them training them.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to preach there.
No, you're good. That's what church is for. Come on, we got to preach. Come on, we have to train them. Like he said, if you don't, someone else will. And so some practical things we've done, you've got to train your kids on social media, on screen time, on how to use a phone. Man, we didn't have to be trained on that till about 10, 15 years ago. But today you have to train your kids. We have a 16-year-old. If you don't know us, we have a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, and twins who are 9. My 13-year-old just turned 13. He just got his first cell phone number. Like, we tried to wait as long as we could till 13. He got his cell phone number, but before I gave him that cell phone number, there's so many resources, but we use a resource around here called the Parent Q, parentcue.com, and they have a cell phone agreement. And we sat down with him and we went through every single thing, what you can and can't do on your phone, and we signed it and we dated it. And my daughter has social media apps and I have the logins, and I'm on all her apps. The other day I accidentally was logged into hers and commented, and she's like, "Mom, you're commenting as me, stop." It was the end of the world. But I know I can get in there, I can see what her messages are. Sometimes I'm like, "Hey, you've got like 15 undone messages, sit down by me, we're gonna open these and read them together." And we've had to have some hard conversations. I've had to say, "Hey, take down this post, that song isn't appropriate," because I wanna know what they're doing. They need you in their life. They believe it or not, they really do want your guidance. I had a friend, a college roommate, and we got to college and we were talking about kind of our parents and rules, and she said, "My parents never ever gave me a curfew. All my friends had curfews, and I kind of wish my parents would have given me a curfew." Like, it almost made her feel, it made her feel unloved that her parents were like, "Yeah, just go do whatever you want." And while some of us think, "Well, I want to be the cool parent. Just, I don't want to make my kid mad. We just got okay with each other yesterday." Make them mad, okay? They are still going to love you at the end of the day, but it is your responsibility to train them to how to have relationships, not just guy-girl relationships. I have to talk to my kids about how to have relationships with their girlfriends or with their guys, and gossiping and bullying. They need you to train them.
Yeah. I said it this way: the battles you refuse to fight, the battles that you refuse to fight, your kids will have to fight.
Yeah.
You got to go first. You got to be the example.
Yeah.
You got to be, Diana and I have leaned into our kids. Man, they were saying stuff the other day that I was like, "Oh my gosh." And we were like, "We would have never said that. We never talked to our parents about that." And I was like taking notes. I'm like, "What?" You know, like, it was like, it was wild. But I was leaning in. Our kids can say whatever they want around us. And they have. And it's, if it's awkward or not, they're like, "Hey, we're in. We're committed." So you got to fight. You have to fight the battles that you're going through. Be honest. Be transparent. Have the conversations with them. The next generation, will the next generation be able to live in victory from the battles that you're fighting now? Will they be able to live in the victories because of the battles that you fought?
Yeah.
Some of these children of Israel, they were like, "Well, Moses and Joshua," and Joshua and Moses were like, "Hey, no, now it's your turn."
Yeah.
Like, you got to go. You have to go. Addiction. Financial battles, mental health battles, relationship battles. Fight the freaking battle that you need to fight.
Yeah.
We have the power. The Bible says the same power that rose Christ from the dead, it lives with inside of us. We have to fight the battles so they don't have to fight them.
Yeah.
And you can say, "Hey, I struggled with this. Hey, I struggled with this. Hey, I struggled with this." If you don't win your pornography struggle, your kid's not going to win it.
Yeah.
We've sat with so many people with every kind of issue, battle, struggle, and the ones that have won it, they've been able to tell their kids, "Hey, I struggled with that. Hey, that had a stronghold on me. Hey, that can take you out. Hey, stay away from that." What battles do you need to help your kids fight? Mental health, relational, spiritual. Craig Rochelle says this: we need to worry less about today's happiness. We need to worry less about today's happiness and more about tomorrow's readiness.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Us and three other people like that. Come on, we have to get them ready. If we don't get, they're not going to wake up one day and be ready. You don't go from couch to marathon in overnight. You go to a 5K, and then you do a 10K, and then you do a half marathon, and then one day, if you're dumb enough, you do a full marathon. If you're really dumb, you do it twice. You don't just wake up and go and do that. You have to prepare. We have to prepare this next generation.
Come on, it is never too late to start. I don't know where you're at. I don't know who you're influencing, but you know who you're influencing. And so if you need to fight some battles today, get resources. We are here to help you. We have community groups those are where you can find freedom. But pour in, whether you're a parent or not, whether you're a coach or a teacher, whether you're a teenager in here, know that someone is looking up to you. I don't care how old you are. Someone is looking up to you. We have middle schoolers who help out in our nurseries.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to tell those middle schoolers, "Hey, this 2-year-old is watching everything that you do. Someone is watching you." And so we've got to be fervent in God's word. We've got to be consistent because it makes a difference. And this is all out of just a desire for loving God. that it should just, this should just come natural. If you just love God the way you're supposed to as a son or daughter, the parenting, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it will flow a lot better if you are just staying in your word, staying praying, fasting, staying in community. Man, don't do life alone. Don't do parenting alone. If you're a single parent in here, man, we want to walk alongside yeah. you. So press in, be here, be present, and we want to be present with you.
Yeah, we're in a group. We're in a group, in a community group. We're in a community group, and we learn from a lot. My friend Matt's here today. He has kids that are in their 20s. I've learned so much from his parenting and what things he shared and things that he said to his kid. And some of you guys have kids that are that older. You need to be in community to help you learn how to be a better parent. You need that. You need help. It's different, and it's really, really hard. We want to end our time praying together today. I want to invite everyone in the room here today that is under the age of 18 to stand up. Under 18, stand up. Come on, stand up. Under 18. Under 18. Or 18 and under. 18 and under. You're like, I'm so old now. 18 and older. Cool. Here's what we're going to do. Stay standing, okay? If you're around any of these young people, would you just lay a hand on their shoulder? Just lay a hand on their shoulder. We're going to pray over these young folks, okay? These young people. Because I just believe that they're in a fight. Everyone can stand to their feet now. Everyone, make sure you, come on, there you go. Lay a hand on one of these young people. And then we're all going to stand to our feet. We're all going to stand to our feet. Everyone. And we're going to pray over this young generation. Actually, I'm going to have Amando come up and pray for this generation. This is our youth pastor. Amando leads our 6 through 12 environment. I'm going to have him just begin to pray over all of our students. And would you lift up a prayer right where you're at, what they're going through? They say this generation has more anxiety than the people that were in World War I and World War II. They have more anxiety than they did. It seems like they have less struggles and less frustrations, but I want to tell you that they're going through it. It's not easy. Our prayer team, by the way, our prayer team can come forward. If anybody else needs prayer right now, our team's going to come and pray. Come on, Amando, come and pray for us. Lift up a prayer. Let's pray for this young generation.
Oh, God, we need you. God, we need you more than we need breath in our lungs. Father, we are calling out to you, God. We are a generation that is moving to you. God, we pray over the young lives in this auditorium. God, we pray that they would be a people, God, who would deny themselves, God, who would die to themselves daily. God, that they would abandon their friends. God, that they would abandon the people that are pushing them away from you. God, that they would fall into your arms. Jesus, would you give them strength, God, to move past mountains? God, would you break down the walls in their hearts? God, would you draw them to you? Jesus, would this be a generation, God, that when people say that Christianity is declining, God, that these young people would be the mothers and the fathers, God, of our next generation, Father God, that would change the church, God, that would shake this whole earth, God, for your name. God, we know that your name will never fail, God, that your church will never fail. God, and so we trust you, God, we trust you. With our lives, God, we trust you with our children. God, we trust you with our families. God, we trust you in our marriages and our relationships. God, we're done trying on our own, Father. And we need you, God. Oh, we need you.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.